All right, let's get her going here on game day. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz. We're live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. In about 35 minutes, we'll welcome in Ken Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion, doing color analyst with MSG, covering the New Jersey Devils. Tonight, Jesper Bratt, who leads the Devils in scoring, will go up against Austin Matthews and the Toronto Maple Leafs with what could be tonight, Sammy, a preview of a Four Nations final between Sweden and USA.
Okay.
Does that excite you at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in.
You know what? There's three results I accept.
From tonight's game?
No, from the Four Nations face-off.
Okay.
Canada wins,
yep.
Number one.
Yeah.
Number two.
Canada wins.
America doesn't win. Number three, everyone comes home healthy. That's all I care about. Yeah. If Sweden or Finland wins, who cares?
Whatever. Event never
America
happens.
Wins, yeah, then we got a problem.
I'm sure Bratt feels wonderful about that.
You know, Sheldon yesterday on our show sure talked up Mr. Bratt, didn't he?
He did.
He talked about his lifestyle and how he lives and how he handles himself. That's one of those things you never really know.
Yeah.
Unless you follow a team.
Well,
super
his Leafs were boozing it up all those years.
That's right. A bunch of drunks. I don't know. We made that up. That's not true.
I can't get a lineup right.
What'd you do now?
Well, I just got a text from our boy Jake the Snake. He's like, horrendous spelling of my name. I just can't burn.
There's no C in Schultz we're missing?
Yeah, I think it might be time for me to quit. Make everyone happy.
Gotta leave that part out of the lineup or something.
Make everyone happy.
You are trying your best, right?
I am.
Okay, that's a scary thought then.
That's not the answer you wanted.
No.
You wanted to hear you've been mailing it in.
I'm mailing it in?
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck's going on.
I suck. What do you want from
now,
me?
No, you don't.
You don't have a good feeling about tonight, Sammy?
Oh.
I'm starting with you. Because you did kind of, we don't talk much before our show.
Yeah.
But you did squeak out a little bit of a, I don't feel good about tonight.
I still feel this. I do think tonight, I felt pretty good about the Leafs in this last little while, just in terms of how they've been playing and how they've looked and some of the wins they've had. I even thought that they were okay against Pittsburgh on Saturday night with some mistakes mixed in there. Thought they were brutal on Friday against Washington. But going into this one, I don't know. I just don't have a great feeling about it. I really don't. I think that Keefe, after they lost that second game of the year, he was pretty pissed off after that game. I think if they're really going to show up for their coach tonight, tonight's a game where they're kind of buzzing around. They got Bastion back. I know it's not a big deal, but they're getting guys back in the lineup. Markstrom starting. He's been hot.
They got thumped 4-0 the other night.
Coming off a bad loss.
So with the thought of Max Domi going in again and the need for secondary scoring, you don't get that vibe, JB, that coming off a couple of losses on the weekend that they can find a way to get a second win in New Jersey?
There's lots of reason to be optimistic here. If you're a Leafs fan, Austin Matthews, they've talked about how he struggled a little bit to find it, but he's had enough games now, getting his feet back under him. Max Domi is back. We've complained about depth scoring a little bit, so maybe he can come back and provide some of that.
Oh, yeah.
Coming off a couple losses.
A ton of goals.
Coming off a couple losses themselves, you would think they'd be motivated. Pacioretty back in the... There is reasons to think the Leafs should be fine tonight, but I can't shake it either, Kip. I kind of feel like Sam does. A couple losses here, playing a good team in
really
New Jersey. They're in tough tonight.
Okay, let's go to Craig Berube for our first Kippers Clipper of our show on what he may see from the New Jersey Devils.
We've got some great players over there, with tons of speed and talent. Power plays, obviously, number one in the league. They play a good brand of hockey. They do a lot with the puck, make a lot of plays. Like I said, great speed and very good power play.
But at least the Leafs have Jake McCabe back, right? Guys? No?
He's not playing. Right? He's not playing.
So they're overcooking him.
Oh.
What, you think?
Yeah.
Concussion.
I do. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a... Listen, we've been told day to day, they're trying to downplay it.
This is
what else could it be other than that?
We know their playbook on this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it always comes about with, tell us how you feel. Is it McCabe now going, I don't feel right? Or is it the Leafs saying,
you don't feel right,
take another night off?
I feel like they wait for the player to say, I'm good. And then the staff says, I'm good. And everyone's like, we're good. Okay, we're going to be two more days. Like, they just are being so careful. What is your thought on players telling them I'm not ready? I get some vibe from you on these sort of the player telling them stuff.
Under this scenario where a guy got a puck into the head, I tend to be on the side of being very careful. So
other things less other so?
Well, I just think at some point, do I believe if this was a must win or the start of the playoffs, I think Jake McCabe would be playing.
Yeah.
And I do believe, I buy into the theory that I've told you guys earlier that they've got a lot of depth now and they're not scared to keep guys out a little extra longer than we've ever seen in the past.
Yeah, old Philippe Myers played 18 minutes the other night alongside Morgan Riley, and I believe he's again going to be in that spot.
If there's a team that you want to get Jake McCabe back in the lineup to have your number one shutdown D pair back together, this is one you would probably have circled.
Yeah.
You know, not Thursday against the Anaheim Ducks, no respect to the Ducks who, you know, fought valiantly against the Montreal Canadiens last night. But, like, the Ducks as a team that's like, oh, you don't need to prioritize that. Tonight's the type of game that you need to prioritize.
What are we on? Is this like day four of day-to-day for Jake McCabe? Because we went...
No, we're game four of day-to-day.
This is game five he's going to miss, no?
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's... Yeah, okay. You missed one, and then it was like, no, he's day-to-day.
But you got real tired of the Austin Matthews day-to-day when it went to game seven or eight.
Yeah.
So I'll give him one more game outside of this one to come back. And then I'm like, I'll jump on board with you. Okay.
I will give them the benefit of the doubt here with this one.
One more game.
No, that I think there is some, you know, I think with a perceived concussion after getting hit in the head with a puck, I mean, I'm not sure what else it would be, but I think there's a little bit more up and down nature to that where you're maybe not quite as sure. And because I forget what game it was before. He took part in full practice where he was skating in the line. Like, they had the lines. He was part of the line rush's main unit out there. And then he didn't play in the next game. Then he kind of went back off a little bit. So there's a bit of a benefit of the doubt with him with that. With Matthews,
it's bad. Anyways, that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Let's get Craig Ruby's thoughts on Jake McCabe.
Jake McCabe won't play tonight. Max don't really be a game time decision.
You're expecting Jake back at some point this week, or is it kind of a day-to-day, how he's feeling?
Yeah, it's day-to-day right now, but day-to-day is probably the best way to put it right now.
Is there any other way to put it? There's a lot of days in the month, and on one of the days, he'll be back, day or the other day.
And yet another... another media availability where they're having it beside a blacksmith. I don't know where the hell they do these press conferences.
Ford Automotive Plant.
Old timey jail.
Rattling a tin can against it.
So he misses tonight. And we see the Leafs play Anaheim at home on Thursday and then go on the road Saturday night in Detroit. So we'll be covering that game Thursday night.
We sure will.
For Sportsnet Ontario.
Wanted to ask you, when McCabe comes back, are we sure that come playoffs, they're going to want to load up a pair, which is McCabe and Tanev, just the shutdown pair?
Yeah.
Or do we think there's a chance it goes back to Riley and Tanev, McCabe Benoit, which was a good shutdown, OEL in the third pair, and...
No, I love Tanev and...
Me too.
I love it too. Yeah. It's amazing. But this is Matthews Marner to me, where it's like, are we sure it's best for the team that they're together?
Your job is to get those other two pairs going by then.
It's like, we found one. Now figure out the others.
Now we're going to get you guys feeling comfortable enough over a very long stretch here of the regular season. So it's seamless going into the playoffs with our number one shutdown and arguably one of the best shutdown tandems now in the league.
Yeah, so you go Tanev, McCabe, yeah. Riley, Shen, right. Oliver Ekman-Larson, so, and Connor Timmins, and then that's perfect.
But this is the point, that OEL and Riley don't work. That's not a pair I like in play.
I don't want either of them playing on their offside, and one of them's got to play on the offside, and it's Benola,
so,
Oliver Ekman-Larson, I don't want that.
Riley and is we're back to that question.
Well, the two games Hockenpah played, he started with Riley.
Right, then now it's Myers. Like, Riley's got to be like, you know, like, good Lord, he only gets the 7th D.
So is that the onus on your partner, or is it the onus on, hey, Morgan, you need to step up here and we need to see the best Morgan Riley possible. And if you're really as good as we still think you are, you should make anybody better.
Yeah, I think they want to squeeze whatever offensive juice they can out of him because they don't have any offense on the back end. And when he plays with someone like Shen or Labushkin or Hainsey or go through the list, he's a little more free to go. They know that someone is back. In OEL, you can't guarantee that. Myers, you can't be sure he can defend. You're just not sure. So, I don't know. Maybe they still need a D-man is kind of where this is going.
But I think that's what they thought they were going to
get. Tanev was going to be.
No, from Hockenpah, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, they did give him a guaranteed contract for $1.5 million.
Bring him in to be your first pair.
Yeah, but I don't think we can think of Riley as the first pair guy. Like, he plays the, like, I guess he plays the most, but like,
don't think he does.
Well, he's up in over 20. I think Tanev's under 20.
I think McCabe plays the most.
So I just don't think you can think of him like that.
I think Larson plays too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's over 20, right?
Yep.
So. And then, but this is like, if you had someone for Riley, then you have OEL in the third pair with someone like Benoit or Timmins, whoever, that's probably where you want him to win a Stanley Cup. You've talked about him being a third pair D before.
Mm-hmm. So am I, yeah.
Benoit, you're Luke Shen, maybe a Hockenpah. That's too much of this similar type of guy.
Yeah, but you've
Sammy.
Been, I know, but you've been talking about how Hockenpah isn't actually going
to
contribute for the whole.
His knees are made of chalk.
I don't want to do the Shen thing again, so we can move on from it.
All right.
I've been doing it every show. I don't feel like I need to say my piece again.
Petrarelli or Domi, where do you want to go, JB?
The Domi sounds funny.
Domi, I think, is interesting. You know, they're so desperate for someone outside of six guys, but really four guys, to score goals. He is a great offensive talent. He skates. He's the sauce king. He is, you should call him Prego or whatever your sauce of choice is. But yeah, he's not scoring much. And Luke Fox asked him some questions today that I thought were really
so this is from yesterday at practice. And yeah, like they officially activated him off the IR today. Grabankin got sent down. He's a game time decision for tonight. But yeah, you got asked about the scoring from Luke Fox. If you want to play that clip there, Domi won there.
How much pressure are you putting on yourself to when you do come back to score? I mean, I'm just guessing that, you know, the lack of goals has to be bothersome at least a little bit.
I would not say that at all. You know what? I mean, I think we'd all agree that if the team wins, that's all that matters. I could care less if you have 90 goals or zero goals. If you're on the ice and you're helping the team win, you're doing your job and you're helping out. So there's always other ways you can help out, but certainly you want to play your best hockey and keep getting better on a daily basis. So I'll just focus on that.
Pretty good answer.
Yeah?
Yeah. You have a problem with it?
Big time.
Okay, tell me why.
I don't believe
it. Well, they need depth.
Oh, you think it took him off the hook?
Yeah, like I think he took himself off the hook.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he is expected to provide offense. That's one of the reasons they paid him.
Doesn't work that way, though, right?
That you pay guys for offense, they don't give you offense, and
I don't necessarily. I could think of a few other guys that you would put that type of heat on, but he hasn't scored. He's never been a true goal scorer.
No.
So for people now to think, or for Max to give the impression in a pre-interview before the game that I'm going to come in and save the day like Mighty Mouse, it ain't happening.
But
I don't think it's unreasonable for him to say, "Hey, I'd like to get some goals,"
well,
but
sure,
you know, or
I mean,
whatever.
I'll
he had
try
50
my
points
best.
Last year. He's on pace for 23.
I'll try my best, but I'm just one of 20 guys. I'm going to go out there, I'm going to push as hard as I can, and I hope to get a bounce, and I can help the team out, but, like, I'm just one of 20 guys here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else he could have given you that would have made you feel better about. Would it have been too cocky or to come out and say, oh, yeah, don't worry, I'm here now?
No, I would like him to say, yeah, I'm frustrated. This is, you know, I'm meant to be an offensive player and I can't produce. I'm on the power play. But listen, good to step away. Yeah. Happy to have a regroup here. And hopefully tonight I can come out and help us get on the board. We haven't been scoring enough.
It's pretty good. I mean, outside of the four forwards, he makes the most. So
I think
when you slot it in.
The energy that I just got off of you here would tell me that you've been off for how many days? We'll find out in a second. But there would be a level of frustration that you're bringing into my energy mm-hmm. when you've been off all this time. And I don't think necessarily it's a good thing to hear your frustration after being away for 3 weeks to come in and say, I'm frustrated or I'm disappointed and that I haven't helped the team out more. Or like that's not what I want to hear from him. I want to hear exactly what he said, that I'm going to come in here and I'm going to be one of many out here.
Yeah.
And I can find a help.
Do you think that's authentic then? Let me ask you that.
I do think it's authentic.
Do you think he genuinely don't care if I get points?
I think he's absolutely correct in saying that there are ways that I can help contribute to a win. And it might not necessarily mean pushing the puck over the goal line.
Problem, I would buy into that if it were David Kampf being like, yeah, I win draws, I kill penalties, I defend like a hornet out there.
I'm not saying that he needs to avoid that. I just felt like he just needed to avoid it there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
If tonight they get shut out 2-0 and he wants to say that in practice tomorrow or going into Anaheim, then I've got a better reason to say, yeah, maybe that could work.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that would work right now being off for the amount of time he's been away.
But you will agree that they need him to produce.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I'm not dumb enough to sit there and say that he's been signed as a 50-point plus guy.
He's the highest paid guy outside the core four players. Need him to score.
That can move.
That's fair.
Up and down the lineup.
That's fair that like the team can expect that from him. He can at least not come in with some sort of negative energy. Why don't we listen to Berube's coach on his thoughts about Domi scoring the clip five?
And how important is for him to find his game even before the injury?
Yeah, no, we know for sure the score sheet, good goals. You know, it's important. I think Max has got to maybe take a little bit different approach and not be such a selfless player and shoot more and just get into the net in greasy areas a little bit more. He's that type of player that, you know, he could score goals there. He's a strong guy and heavy guy. You know, so I think for him, and a lot like Nick Robertson, they got to get in the inside more and get around that net and score some greasy goals. And we need them to. We need those guys. We need secondary scoring.
Okay, one more. The Toronto Maple Leafs head coach is speaking. Can you stop pushing around the shopping cart right beside him?
Right.
Like, anyways, the coach is talking. Just stop moving for two minutes.
All right.
Is it a construction?
Good Lord.
It's like a basketball game
going on. Anyways, but the clip is good. The clip is good.
Do you know, though, I don't always feel great about a coach being like, our small guys need to get to the greasy areas more. It's like, Domi's, you know, great vision, great passer. Just let him do his thing. He knows what he's doing.
As far as everyone else is concerned, in the bottom six here, like, where are you now and a sense of urgency, because I do get it a little bit out of Craig Berube in those last couple of comments that, okay, that's enough. We need somebody to get to the net.
I think part of the reason I'm leaning on Domi here is because if you look at, they have so many guys in the bottom six who you literally expect to never score. Like, you're never asking Ryan Reeves to score, never Holmberg. You know, Minton's played four games in the league, whatever it is. Lorenz, Dewar, they have so many guys. Kampf. You just don't expect to score. So the guys who are expected to score a little have to score a little, or you're not getting any offense.
Yeah.
We do have a clip on this.
Would you put Pacioretty into that?
No, I expect him to produce a little bit.
Okay.
And what's he got? Two goals?
In how many games? I feel like it's...
I don't know. 12? Yeah. Has he played a dozen? 14.
I mean, what would you expect? He has a season recently with 4 goals in 48 games.
I know.
So it's, you know.
He's got 6 points in 14 games.
How many goals?
2.
Yeah.
2 goals in 14 games.
And he's seen
good minutes.
Some decent
good
minutes.
Lines.
Yeah.
But listen, I told you guys earlier, I mean, what can you truly expect from a guy that you invited on a PTO?
Yeah.
Do you think they need to make a move sooner than like March 2nd or whatever the deadline is? Like, do you think they're going to need to bring in offense?
I think if this trend continues, then I believe that they shouldn't waste much time.
Yeah.
That's not to say that there's a deal waiting for them anytime soon if, in fact, they want to push it, but I'd be a lot more aggressive, yes, because I do believe that the Atlantic division is still up there. Sammy, are you kind of...
Me? On the Atlantic?
You're losing a little bit of luster on a division win?
Let me pull up
the last two losses.
Yeah, he was negative Nancy at our desks before talking about the...
No, I'm not negative Nancy.
You were. Like, talking about their playing the Bruins for sure in the first round.
Well, if they were to start today...
Yeah.
Guess who they're playing?
The Bruins.
Yeah.
And I tell you right now, they're going to be playing the Bruins. Remember this. Remember this conversation right now.
But
December 10th.
It the last 4 years
December,
in a row.
Right now, though. Right. I'm saying, I'll call my shot right now. December 10th of the year 2024. They
bold
are 100%.
Pick, Sammy.
They're 100%
bold
playing
the pick.
Great. That's
every
why.
Year,
that's why it sucks.
Every
thanks,
year.
Gary. It sucks. There's no intrigue into the regular season. You're playing one of three teams every year.
Stop it. Stop
we got to create rivalries. Great.
Stop it. It's not. It's,
Sammy,
like,
what
it's
happened
a done
to your,
deal. There's
feels,
2 points out of first.
What happened
with the
to
game
this
in
feel,
hand?
This feels different
I think
this year.
I think the team feels different. I 100% think that. But they're playing the damn Bruins in the first round, so maybe it's not so different.
Sammy, in last year at this time, they were 9 points out of first in their division.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now, they're 2 behind Florida with a game in hand.
But I think Florida's
it's not
better.
The same.
I think Florida's better. I think Florida's a better team. So I think
like,
they're going to get.
That's great that you think they're incrementally better.
I think they're going to accumulate more points over the remainder of the NHL's regular season to finish above them, and the Leafs will finish in second. The Boston Bruins will finish third, and so therefore, they play.
And also, by the way, were they to play today, it would not be the Boston Bruins. By points percentage, it would be the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh, well, I'm looking at the
that's because you're a Dumbo Joe.
I'm looking at the standings according to NHL's website, and it says the Leafs and Bruins are playing.
Yeah,
so.
Check the games played column.
Listen.
You need to go to the nurse's office and get a note and just go home.
Why?
Okay, because you're not feeling well.
I'm feeling great. I like, and I actually.
Don't hurry.
Here's something I'll say.
Everyone thinks
I actually would feel pretty good. About what's going on? I would actually feel pretty good about a playoff series against the Bruins right now.
Okay.
So that's different.
Okay, that's positive.
Different.
But this is how it is, you know. You make playoffs, you play a good team in your division. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
All right, let's get Craig Berube on Max Pacioretty.
I thought he was excellent in the first period. I he's heavy, physical, won battles for those guys, created loose pucks for him, things like that. That's what he needs to do. And it was his first game back, so I thought that, you know, he died off a little bit going into the third period. First game back, it's expected. So, but that's what he does. He's a physical guy, big guy, good hands. So that's what we're looking for from him.
Died
off.
Oh
boy. I tell you what.
Just vanilla for me.
Died off.
Just okay.
He may be black and blue by the end of the season because the ask from him will be more than he's ever had his whole career. When was the last time he was on a hockey club that said, we don't care about anything. Just go out there and hit everything that
moves.
Do
you think he knew he was signing to be Matt Martin? Was he aware of the role that he had signed up for here?
Good point.
It's going to be fascinating to see if
he
stick
starts
with it.
To get challenged a little bit here and there. Because the tendency is with these type of guys that go around and, and try to knock people's blocks off is that somebody's going to get tired of you.
Hatch here, ready, hockey fight.
I don't know if he's ever. I mean, he's probably had one in his life.
Let's check out this fight card. Oh, yeah.
No, he's had a few battles.
So one in 2024 against Tage Thompson. Then it was
Tage.
10 years prior, his previous fight.
Oh, my God. Tage, you fought Tage.
He fought
That's
Ryan
a big
Johansson.
Man.
He fought Wayne Simmons in 2009.
Really?
Yeah.
In 2009? Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, this is not chronological. Ignore me.
Okay.
I don't know exactly when they were. That one was 2009, though.
Okay.
So Brendan Shanahan, we got a couple of clips of his. Do you want to get into that now?
Down at the Board of Governor meetings, they wrapped up today. It didn't sound like there's anything exciting going on other than the fact that they may have to negotiate a higher salary cap if it works for both sides.
Would you like to hear what Elliot Friedman tweeted out as the highlights of the BOG?
Okay.
Commissioner Bettman says there will be a negotiation with the NHLPA about the cap going up more than 5%. There are no active tampering investigations. The Florida Panthers are closing in and hosting an outdoor game.
That Florida Panthers outdoor game.
Sounds like it could have been an email, boys.
anyways.
That's worth $1,200.
Shanny, I mean, he gave some... You just realize you hear him talk about hockey so little, Shanny.
Yeah.
Right?
It would be lovely to hear it more.
And how about we play the first clip, Derek? There's an overview of the season so far.
Well, you know, I think there was a shift that began to occur in our team last year, starting with Brad Treliving and an intentional shift in a style of play. I think over the course of this offseason, he was able to enhance that with the acquisition of some really key guys that he brought in, including a coaching change. So I think that the players are still kind of adjusting and adapting, but I think just the way that we began to play last year, and now you bring into it more defensive responsibility, better structure, better accountability from us as a group. And I give Brad and all of our scouts and that team and our coaching staff, not just Craig Berube, but his entire coaching staff, a lot of credit for that. We've still got a long way to go. I'd like to get some of these injured guys back. But definitely like some of the signs we've seen, especially on the defensive end and, the way we defend, the way our goaltenders have played. But definitely a long way to go.
There was a shift.
A shift.
So hearing that, it's like, it's interesting. He employed Kyle Dubas, and he obviously was okay with the direction of the team for a long time with Kyle Dubas, right?
Pretty much 9 years.
Yeah. So like,
and chose to keep Keefe too.
Yeah. And him, like, you know, him saying the shift, it's like, well, you were the boss the entire time. Like, you know,
he's undergone a shift.
I guess
I think it's healthy for people to change their views.
He shifted. That's what he's talking about. The shift is
internal.
Yeah. I find that interesting.
Yeah. I mean, are they fundamentally that much different to you outside of roster construction? Like, to me, they're getting way better goaltending than they've ever got.
Mm-hmm. Way better.
And after that, they got some better players, like some better defenders.
More discipline. I think that's the accountability. I think I don't see.
You can ask about that part. Is there more accountability?
Well,
you think?
How many odd man rushes? How many games?
Great point.
How many blowouts?
I was thinking of accountability as like individual players being held versus
accountability to play on the right side. And I get it. Sometimes it's not pretty to watch, and sometimes it can affect your stats. We had Chris Versteeg, Stanley Cup champion, in Chicago come on our show last week and talk about big boys giving up their points.
That was like an underrated part of that interview. No. It happened early, so we kind of moved on, but it was a great point.
It was a great point. So, look, Austin's not going to come close to what he's done two out of the last 3 years.
No.
Okay. I mean, does he end up with 40? I don't know. Maybe. Could he get hot and show us another level like he's amazed us in the past when it comes to putting the puck in the net? Maybe, but it's not trending there. So, like, what is everybody in for right now? Just trying to win, right? And it's not going to be... It's not going to be about your points. Now, in saying that, Austin Matthews got to get going, boys.
Yeah. Okay?
I'm not taking him off the hook either. I watched him Saturday night. And
you never have.
When have you ever had him on the hook?
Yeah.
The second clip, Derek, is very interesting too. On defense, team defense. Play that.
For all teams and all individual players, sometimes there's an arc in a career in which you sort of figure things out. And And all we can do sometimes on the management side when we can't go on the ice and play is help people get there, give them the support they need. I've been really impressed with our players and their commitment to the defensive side of the puck. And it's going to be an ongoing year-long process. But if you want to win the big trophy at the end of the year, we've seen teams in the past that have decided and made a commitment. Sometimes it's personnel-driven, and sometimes it's just team-driven where a group of people have banded together and decided that they're going to play a certain way. So there's a lot of parity in the league right now. Every game is tough. But I do think that those metrics on our defensive end is really important if we want to get to where we want to get to.
Certainly seen...
Love that.
I love listening to talk about hockey.
I've seen enough to say that there has been ample proof that there's a style of play that we think that they could be really successful in the playoffs with.
Absolutely.
Right now?
Like for over the course of 25 games.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now.
Puck still needs to go in.
He made a very valid point in saying that can you bring it together when it matters most? And now we're on a two-game losing streak. They didn't play well at all against Washington. Much better.
Still not great.
Against better. Pitt. Yeah. Better.
Better.
So this one to me is an important one here.
Well,
right?
I
don't want to, you know, if you got a feeling like they could get blown out tonight, that's not a good sign. Like I'm banking on if they don't win tonight, then it's...
You're concerned about their ability to bring it when they need
to. They better lose 2-1 with an empty net goal.
Yeah.
They better not lose like 5-1
like because 3-1?
They've got better goaltending. They've had better structure. They don't give up a ton of odd man rushes. Yeah. They check hard. Like, it's okay if you don't win, but it's really important that if you don't win, then you still look a lot better than you ever have the last few years when you lost.
Speaking of good points of interviews, it was great Sheldon talking about their inability to score, and he's like, and we couldn't score when it mattered most, and that's why I'm talking to you from New Jersey. he acknowledged their inability to, you know, to find it at the right time is why he's not in this country right now.
We should go.
Yeah.
The clip he asked about Marner, he just says he's having a wonderful year and how elite he is defensively, but there's nothing about the contract, obviously. So
yeah, we got to get to Danico unless you want to add to it today.
No.
You want to start that conversation before we get a break?
I got 15 seconds.
Yeah, we should go.
No, not a chance. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we return, Ken Danico, tough guy in my day. We had a couple battles, I think.
I bet he's a tough guy in today. Today's day.
He'll still scare the heebie-jeebies out of us when he comes on board. Danico after the break on Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Blake Murphy.
And I'm Matt Bonner.
Join us weekday mornings at 11 as we break down all things Toronto Raptors.
It's the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kipperios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. In a couple of minutes, we'll welcome in Ken Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion, color analyst with MSG, and all-around great guy.
Lovely. Very excited to hear about the New Jersey Devils. Fun matchup tonight. Did you you played against Danico?
Yeah. He was just all meat, no potatoes.
How big is he? Big guy.
Big guy. Bigger than me.
All right.
I think he beat me up on a couple of occasions.
Okay.
Dano, you remember that?
Oh, I remember one time in Washington, Kipper, that we had a little bit of a set through there, yeah. But I don't remember much anymore in my old age.
Do you remember?
You only remember the ones you watched.
Yeah, yeah. Any recollection of the Leafs beating the Devils earlier in the season? Because we had Sheldon Keefe on yesterday and asked him if he's going to put money on the board tonight. And he said, no, the boys gave me a big elephant dump on my head in the first game. I'm not going down that path again.
Well, yeah, I guess smart. Don't repeat what didn't work the first time around, but... Yeah, the Leafs, that was early on. Leafs played a very good, I thought, road game, very sound. They've been much better defensively, as everybody knows, and kind of what was expected coming in with Berube behind the bench, you know, a little more structured and disciplined. Although, having said that, I always maintain watching the Leafs a lot last year in the playoffs and doing NHL Network. They played a real structured, solid game as well. They just couldn't put the puck in the net enough because I thought they played pretty darn well last playoff series against the Bruins. They just couldn't find a way to win, which so they were pretty structured again and maybe similar to Berube as well this year. But going to be a good game. Looking forward to it. Devils would like a little revenge, and they have not lost two in a row in a while where they've been able to bounce back. They showed a lot of resiliency after losing to Colorado the other night. So we'll see what transpires, fellas.
Ken, have you noticed a difference in the way the Devils play since Sheldon Keefe, or is some of the success just new players and some better seasons from the players that were there?
Yeah, I think it's a combination for sure. I mean, obviously last year teams never make excuses, but their goaltending was real bad. It was young guys that struggled. They had injuries, and they just could never really find their footing. But a lot of guys didn't play up to expectations, and you know that happens, unfortunately, to a lot of teams. They wanted to bounce back here, so I would say a combination as far as they've made some great additions. They're a much tougher team to play against. They're able to, you know, balance it out with the high-end skill and speed that they have. But Fitzgerald did a really nice job in the offseason of bringing in heavier bodies, guys that can win puck battles. We always talk about that, use that term. But it's half the game. I mean, who has the puck? And you have to be able to retrieve the puck and win some of those battles. They couldn't do that too often last year. And this year they just have a lot more composure. They're bigger on the back end with the three guys they added that play a little meaner style, a little more physical. And they've been still a work in progress, but a much improved, much better team. And Sheldon's been really good here. I mean, you know, coming in, you know, he had a lot of success in the regular season, and that's important because this team has to become a sustainable playoff team. We'll worry about the playoffs when they get there, but the point is he's brought in a nice balance of he holds those guys accountable. He's gotten through to the star guys that it's not just about producing offense. Yes, we all know they have to do their thing, and they have Bratt and Heischer and certainly Jack Hughes and Meyer and guys like that, but situational play, and I think that's where Sheldon's really improved the club as far as understanding that you got to chip it in every once in a while when you're up 3-2 or 4-2, and the star guys have certainly bought into that more this season.
We're talking to Ken Danico, color analyst with MSG, teeing up the New Jersey Devils, Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. As far as Jacob Markstrom's concerned, that's a name that we heard quite a while last season, and it never came to fruition. And then the trade in the off season, and just what has he brought? I mean, you, if of all, could speak of what a solid goaltender behind you can feel like all those years in New Jersey winning Stanley Cups.
Yeah, well, obviously, I was very fortunate to have one of the best, if not the best, if I'm being biased, and not to mention he can handle the puck, so he probably the way he handled it, he probably prolonged my career, Kipper, for 5 years. Now, when you're going hard back for the puck, I realized after about 5 years with Marty, I go, I don't have to get my face smashed in the glass and protect it every single time. I can peel off, and he can beat two forecheckers with a tape-to-tape pass. Right. So that was kind of nice, being able to kind of right off to the half wall, and it was right on my tape and then out of the zone. We joke about that still to this day, but he said, yeah, I wanted to help you with a little wear and tear, Dano, so that was kind of nice.
Saved
nice
your TV Marty career, right?
Yes. Even though I still have a face for radio, they're still putting me on the TV, but all kidding aside. And, you know, Markstrom's brought some consistency. Look, there's been at times he'll have a hiccup or let in a goal that he'll tell you he wants back, or maybe have a bad period or bad game. But what he does bring, and that's why I think it was important for the Devils with Marty part of the team now as well, and as an executive in Fitzy, was the goaltenders are veteran guys. I know Allen's banged up, and won't be the backup tonight, but it's day-to-day. But both guys have brought that veteran presence and steadiness in net where they make the big saves when you have to. Markstrom, no question, as the number one. After, you know, he'll maybe let one in that you go, he's got to have that. He'll make three spectacular saves to keep you around. And he did that against the Rangers the other night where it was a 5-1 final score, but I don't think that was indicative of the game. Devils got off to a good start. And then he made three or four just fabulous saves, and that's what he's capable of. He's athletic. He's a competitor. He's a guy you can tell wants to win bad. He enjoys being here, and he's certainly done a really nice job thus far for this team. And when your guy makes a big save, you know how you make a mistake. It's a game of mistakes, whether you're a defenseman, forward, turn the puck over. And if it's in the back of your net every time, it gets frustrating. Well, it's not always in the back of your net. He's been bailing them out when they do make that mistake, even though they are, like I said, much, much improved defensively and harder in their zone. And you have a lot of guys with good sticks. Pesci's been a great acquisition. Dylan's everything is advertised. Physicality and the one guy that's probably been a pleasant surprise, way better than any of us anticipated, but he has been damn good, and that's Kovacevic. He's just a real good, long reach, tall guy, tough guy to get around, and he certainly uses his stick well and brings a little physicality, too. So it's a completely different makeup on the back end with Dougie Hamilton healthy, doing his thing on the power play or offensively, where he can beat a goaltender clean with that shot. He's got a terrific shot, as we know. So it's a different dynamic back there, and they've kind of worked together with Markstrom, certainly making the big save when he needs to bail you out.
Dan, I was going to ask you about where you see the Devils slotting in that Metro, but I think the most important piece I want to get from you, you know you work for MSG Network, is what is going on with the New York Rangers? This is a team that the Devils are one spot ahead of in the Metro standings, but God, they can't get a win right now in New York.
As a rival, it must break your heart, Ken, to see them struggling and in turmoil.
Well, look, Kipper, I mean, obviously everybody knows I bleed red and black, no question about it, and rightfully so. I've been here 40-plus years at the organization, whether as a player, a broadcaster, ambassador. So I certainly want to see their success. But as a hockey fan, look, nobody wants to see a team go through complete struggles. I've been there. We've been there as players. I've seen the Devils go through it for years here after my career up and down and in between. And when you start to second-guess and start, you know, to play a tentative game, and I guess that's kind of what I've seen from the Rangers right now, that you're going to go through ruts. I always say it's a lot better now than maybe later on if you figure it all out. I mean, they have too much talent not to be a playoff team, not to be, you know, a top team, really. But their back end a little bit has struggled. They haven't played as well. That's the bottom line. And I don't know if they, you know, what they're going to do as far as maybe adding some depth defensemen, whatever it may be. But defensively, they haven't been as good as they need to be. And they've got the all-world goaltender in Shesterkin. Has it been his best year? Maybe not. It's still damn good. But you sometimes you get comfortable when goaltenders mask your mistakes for so long that when they're not superhuman and they're just real good, sometimes you're not going to win games. So maybe my analogy, how I look at it, I have no doubt, not that I'm asking them to figure it out, but they're a pretty damn talented team and a good team that I think eventually they'll figure it out, but you just don't want it to prolong too long. And you can say that for any team, really, right? I mean, every team's going to go through their struggles. It's getting through it. Even though top teams are going to lose 3-4 in a row, but it's how do you respond? Can you get out of it quickly? This league is so tight. The competitive balance is at an all-time high. And I look no further with the Devils being improved, yet they've been shut out a lot this year. I think 5 times, which is crazy because they played very well in some of those games, probably 4 of the 5. But the puck just don't want to go. They get goaltendered. So just every night it's a different adventure, I think, for a lot of teams, and the Rangers are going through it right now.
We'll look forward to the adventure tonight between the Devils and the Maple Leafs. Dano, thanks for doing this. Have a great call tonight, okay?
My pleasure, Kipper, and I can't believe I can't remember that fight completely. So maybe you'll have to let me know. I'll stand aside. Always great being on with you,
pal.
Guys. Take care, man.
Thanks, man. Right, appreciate man. It.
Yeah, yeah, I was on the bottom. I'm sure the pile.
I found it.
Yeah, I just watched it.
It wasn't awful.
It's
at
a
all.
Tangle up. I don't think you get hurt.
I showed up.
You did.
You
show
were,
up.
Hey, I mean,
buddy, I
you fought
you
Ken Danica.
Against a tough guy.
I just showed up in the dressing room with needing new underwear. So you're a brave fella.
Yeah.
Five times he said that they've been shut out.
Shocking.
You kind of wish the Leafs could have come off a Devil's win.
Yeah,
that would have
been much better. much better. Yeah, I know one thing. That's you're going to get a good effort out of that team tonight. So at least you're going to have to bring it, which is nice to hear because I think the Leafs are going to bring a good game too. So we might get ourselves a fun hockey game.
You know I love Hockey DB pages. Ken Danico, he must have the highest games played to goal ratio maybe in NHL history.
What do we got here?
He played 1,283 games
How
in the league.
How many goals?
36.
I wonder what the longest stretch he had between goals. Do you know? Can you look that up real quick? Was it like 6 years?
So we had TJ Brody go like 130 games here or something.
From 1999 to 2002, he did not score a regular season goal. 0-0-0.
Now, hey, granted, I didn't.
That's
either.
Just some hard luck.
I didn't get a break.
No, but he played 76 assists, 98 PIMs. In the playoffs, he scored 23 games and they won the cup.
Like, you do think that you're on the ice enough, you hack a couple towards the goal.
That's amazing. This is an amazing hockey DP. And he played 175 career playoff games.
I will say, it even impresses me, guys, in the NHL, and the Leafs have several, who end up with no goals. Like, David Kemp, so you know, like a guy who played 15, 16 minutes a game for the Leafs, just stand in the crease. The puck goes to the crease.
It is
so hard.
So hard.
Good league. Good league.
In this
so
league.
Hard.
Good league.
I get it.
How many games has Max played this year? Right?
20.
He's a pretty talented guy.
Yeah, of course.
And yes, he could shoot more often, as Craig Berube has alluded to, but it gives you some idea. Very talented guy. Hard to shoot it in the net.
But Berube's point is like he needs to just go. Like if you stand around the goalie, and it's a hard place to just stand. Yeah. They don't let you just stand there.
Yeah.
But the puck will go there.
We've also seen probably in the last week or 10 days when Nick Robertson was in, he was just almost tunneled vision.
Yes.
Oh,
my God.
Put it in the net. It's like, must score.
Yeah.
Hockey and Nick Robertson are two different sports.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm Nick Robertson.
I'm the goal shooting machine.
You can kind of go over the top, too, sometimes. It's hard to find that balance.
Yeah, we talked about him celebrating that goal he scored to break the 19-game drought. And he was just like,
that was a little bit.
I did the thing I need to do for me.
And he hasn't done it since.
He's back in there tonight.
Yeah.
Off a healthy scratch. He played 9 minutes against Washington. Didn't get in against Pittsburgh. They need goals. He needs to get rolling.
I mean, I will say, this is for me to say this about Nick Robertson, this tells you a lot about Alex Nylander, but like, he should be in over Nylander.
Oh, good Lord, yes.
Like, there's no.
Is Alex still with the team?
Yeah. Grubankin went down today.
Okay.
So, like, I guess he's a healthy scratch. He's still around the team or whatever. He may get in still if Domi doesn't play tonight. Game time decision, right?
Like, but Alex Nylander may make hundreds of thousands of dollars this year just because they need Grubankin to play and have the puck and be in the minors.
Yeah.
And Willie loves having Alex around. Yeah. And if you're going to have a body.
I think that matters.
What's that?
You think that like, plays a
Willie thing?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
You do? Kipper?
I'm sure it came up in discussions.
Like, I don't know that
during his contract.
I think he chose this organization in the first place.
Yeah.
Willie.
Yeah, you're right.
Was it a clause?
Now we're just being nasty.
Well, my brother up. No, we're just kidding. He's, you know what? He played well in the minors.
He had double-digit NHL goals last year. We're just talking about how hard it is to score.
He was next man up with the Marlies. But
absolutely true.
I know a lot of guys that were next man up but couldn't make that next push. Okay, don't go away. When we return, Steve Valiquette, analyst for the New York Rangers on MSG. Good time to have him on. Tons to talk about. NHL trade. Trouba. Can't wait. Don't go away. More Real Kipper and Bourne after the break.